So I'm actually listening from a fucking hotel room in Monterey and you're leaving? What are you talking about leaving? Adam, Adam has a race. We're doing that. We got another hour. We're good. No, 30 minutes. No, 35 minutes. Something like that.
35 minutes.
35.
I am going to go pee though.
Oh, well, that's all right. Yeah. Then that adds to your time.
No,
so
it doesn't.
No,
I have to pee.
No,
I can't pee on.
All right. No,
I can't pee on the.
That's fine.
Stream.
It's fine. Go ahead.
You can talk to them.
I know, but I'm just saying it's going to add to your time.
Whatever.
You owe them. You owe them 36 minutes. Damn it. Auntie Scott, everything Auntie Scott has done for you and you can't give him 36 minutes of your life. Anyway, let's see. What are you doing in Monterey? I'm asking Auntie Scott in the chat room as, everyone else is just like listening in. Hopefully we're no longer on YouTube. I hope he stopped the YouTube stream before he walked away. I don't know if he did or not. Didn't know what I was going to say. I was going to say something. And I got nothing. That's what you do in Monterey? You drink? I don't know. Monterey is, they have cheese there, right? Isn't Monterey famous for cheese? The Monterey Jack? Does that have to do with Monterey, the place? I don't know. Let's see. Who do I have? Who's my buddy tonight? Claude? Is Claude my buddy tonight? I need Claude's voice, though. Because I did not care for that voice. Settings. Bloop, 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 bloop.
If practice makes perfect.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
Amid the mists and coldest.
Betty bought a bit of butter, but the bit of butter Betty bought was bitter. If I put it in my batter, it will make my batter bitter, but a bit of better butter will make my batter better. So Betty bought a better bit of butter.
Okay, yeah, got it. Got it. Thank you. he's returned. It's gorgeous here for the ocean and the aquarium, and no, Daniel, it has nothing to do with cheese. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Hey, Monterey Jack cheese, does that have anything to do with Monterey, California, or how did it become Monterey Jack?
Right. So it does have a connection to Monterey, California. The cheese originated in that region back in the 1800s, and it's named after the coastal city there. Apparently, Franciscan monks in the Monterey area were making it, and then local traders, particularly Scottish merchants called the Jacks, got involved in distributing it, which is where the Jack part comes from. So it's basically a place name plus a trader's surname combined together.
Yeah, there you go. I don't need to hear you anymore. Thank you. Sounded like a real pirate there talking to me. I reckon. I don't know what I heard. I got nothing. Hey, as you know, Adam, wait, are you back? I can't hear you, and I don't know that you can hear me.
You couldn't see me. I was holding something.
I saw that, but I couldn't talk because my AI was talking, and it would have. You have your 15-year Walmart employee plaque or certificate.
It came in the mail today.
Yeah. Was it actually 15 years?
15 years.
Yeah. I mean, was it the correct anniversary or?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. That just tells you, man, bureaucracy is a function of size, whatever. It's like the people that printed those out and you were on a list to print those things out like months ago before you quit.
Well, yeah, but I hit 15 years in January.
Oh, okay.
So I would have gotten it regardless. My boss mailed it to me.
Yeah. And I don't know if we talked about this already or not. It's like, but I'm very excited to go to the Disney cast member when Zach gets his 10 years. I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah.
That. Yeah. That'll be cool. Adam.
You'll be like 70 by then.
No, I won't. It'll be 8 years from now, like less than 8 years from now.
Well, you'll be 68.
Okay. That's not 70.
or 67.
Yeah, 67. Anyway, Adam, let's talk about what do we want to talk about first? Let's talk about. All right, so you know how I get the I use that strawberry watermelon water flavoring?
Yeah.
So it got to the point where I couldn't always count on Publix having it in stock or Walmart having it in stock because first it's a very popular flavor and it did, you know, and when that's the only thing you drink, that that screws you over, right? So about a year ago I switched over to just ordering it on a subscription from Amazon.
But sometimes they're out too.
So every 8 weeks they deliver me like 10 bottles of, actually, you know what? I'm going to take that back. It's every 6 weeks. They deliver 8 bottles every 6 weeks. And that works about out about right. And to your point about the last time that I was supposed to get a shipment, they were like, oh, there's a delay with your order. We'll let you know when we have a new shipment date. And then it kept extending out. And then finally they were just like, nope, we're not going to deliver it. It's like your next delivery date is your next delivery. Now, when I saw that, right, when I saw that they weren't going to deliver it and my next delivery date was was 6 weeks from then, wouldn't you think that they would just, that they basically just skipped that, or they were just skipping it then. Essentially, they were just saying, yeah, we're going to skip it.
They're skipping it.
We're going to skip it.
Yeah.
No, Adam. This week, when I went out to my front porch and picked up this box that Amazon delivered to me, it had 16 bottles of water flavoring in it. Adam. And I had gone out and bought like 10 of them on a different order. From whatever. Yeah, they just basically like doubled the shipment and just like, so now. I had a subscription
for these Altoids.
Yeah.
But I thought that when they didn't have it, they just didn't send it. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of it.
Yeah, you would think that that would be the logical thing. But no, because I had stocked up when they ran out, I needed some to be here. And I bought enough for the free shipping. So I now have like 27 bottles of strawberry watermelon water flavoring. I mean, it will get used, but it is taking up the entire bottom shelf of the cabinet. It's like, it's just.
I had to just end my subscription to the Altoids because I have a whole drawer full of them. I mean, I'm not kidding. It comes in those, the size ones that you see in the store. Mm-hmm. Like they have a pack with, I get a whole 2 packs of those.
Yeah.
And I have so many packs of those now, there's a drawer that's completely full. I couldn't. So, yeah, well, you're going to have plenty of drinks for a while.
The chat room would like to know what you get for your 15th anniversary at Walmart.
I got a piece of paper and a pen.
A pen?
Not a writing pen, but an actual pen like to put on your lanyard or whatever. And that's it. There's no money, no nothing like that. But we get really good bonuses. So,
yeah.
Or we got what I'll say. So, I was just going to update you on podcast maps. So, I've been doing podcast maps. I went and you can go to it and you guys can go to it and look if you want. But I'm going to share my screen with Daniel. And I'll be really quick about it because I know that, you know, audio listeners are. But I was trying, you know, the one thing I'm really amazed with Codex, but the one thing I still don't think it's great at is design, because it gave me a design that was very dated looking.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at design either. Yeah. And so I did it as good as I could, but I was trying to make it look a little more modern. So I got rid of any of the bubbles around anything. Yeah. I redid the icon. And then when you log in now, you can log in with Google. And if you're an admin, you get an admin menu where you can manage the maps.
Yeah.
And I can go in and it tells me how many maps I currently have. I can, edit them, delete them, add a new map if I want to. Yeah. So like if I wanted to add a map for Mix Minus, I could.
You could.
And then I can add listener types, which are like when you go, a listener type is like when you go to the site, it's like lurker or, you know, whatever, et cetera. And yeah, I redid these, redid the adding yourself form.
Now is a listener type per show?
Yeah, it's okay. Per show.
Cool.
And Fatty has his own spreadsheet. I did it really stupidly. When I first started, I did it in a spreadsheet instead of a database because I wanted Fatty to be able to have a way to go and look.
Yeah.
And so I thought a spreadsheet would be the easiest. And now that I have these admin pages, I really need to get rid of the spreadsheet and let him just go into an admin page.
Yeah.
But
just go and look.
But now that means I have to merge all of that in somehow and go through all that rigmarole. That I have to do.
Honestly, that sounds like something that you just give to Codex and tell it that's what you want to do.
Yeah. But anyway, Codex has done most of this. I've done a few little things, but Codex has done most of it with just me prompting. And
so Codex is not good at design because OpenAI is not good at design. So up until about a week or so ago, what most people were doing is they were using a Canva MCP server. So Canva has an MCP server that is good at design. So you can say like make a modern design and stuff like that, and it will go and hit the Canva MCP and it will pull down, you know, styling notes, like styling notes for a modern web app or something like that, or, you know, make a, so that's what a lot of, but now people are using Google Stitch. Google Stitch is, you go there and you describe your application and how you want it to look, and it will make you screenshots and you can go and tweak them and edit them. And then when you have them looking, you know, just mock screenshots. And once you have them looking like you want, you basically can either generate code for that or generate a PRD for that or a style guide for that. You know, so not only is it saved there, but it will make a file that your AI can read, like you can use in Gemini CLI or Codex or Claude Code, that has, is essentially the style guide for your project. So I use Mudblazer because I do a lot of .NET programming just because it's widely supported and that's what I know. So I can always, you know, in a catastrophe, I can go read the code myself. Although lately I've just been not caring. Like lately I've had it write things in Go and Rust and what is it? It was like, I don't care. I'm not looking at the code. I don't give a shit. Just do what I ask you to. Which coincidentally is this other topic. But what was I saying? I forget what I was going to say.
I don't know. What were you
saying? Well, what were we talking,
you were talking about design.
Oh, yeah.
And you design. Use Mudblazer. And
oh, yeah. I use Mudblazer. That's what it was. So I use Mudblazer because I use .NET. So there is a Mudblazer MCP server that just has the latest documentation for the Mudblazer framework or whatever. So, like, I know you like to use React. I'm sure there's a React MCP.
Well, I was using React because that's a marketable skill, or it was. It was a marketable skill.
It's no longer.
But yeah, that's the React and Express for the back end. But
yeah, I mean, but that's now you can just tell it. And it's just like, look, go do this or whatever.
Well, that's why I'm prompting all of this, is because the marketable skill that I'm going to need when I join the workforce is coding using AI.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to need that. I'm going to need to be able to say, hey, I use Codex every day, or I use Claude Code every day, or you know, whatever. I know how to prompt. It does this, this, and this. And I can show them an example of something that I've coded using an AI assistant. I feel like that'll be important to get a job.
Yeah. I feel like another thing that's going to be very important, which feeds into this next topic here, is context management. And right now, even our most expensive models are within business spending pretty trivial. You know what I'm saying? So even our most expensive models, businesses are going to play, you know, $5,000 or $10,000 a month for it, whatever, for the token usage or whatever. And that's well within their operating budget. That's not something that they're going to think twice about. But this next generation that they're about to come out with a trillion parameters. I forget what is Anthropic calling it, Mobius or something. But this next one, I feel like is going to be way more expensive, and we're going to start to get into that territory where you should probably be paying attention to not only how many tokens you're using as an enterprise, as an organization, but also how they're being used. Like, are they being used effectively or not, right? And so what I mean is that when you have a conversation with an LLM, be that on the web, over at ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude.ai, whatever, you know, like the thing that all of us do, we all go to, I'll ask Claude, I'll ask ChatGPT, right? We go to that web interface at chatgpt.com, whatever, and we talk. When we're there, what was the point that I was going to make? God damn it. That pisses me off.
It's something I think you're going somewhere around. You're going to need to be efficient with your prompts because.
Oh, I know what I was
going to say.
Just like
when you query a database.
I know what I was going
to
say.
You have to be efficient with your queries.
Correct. So when you go to that chat thing, like we all do, and you have a conversation with it, every single time that you talk to it, that's what we call a turn, right? So what we call you sitting down there and having is called a thread. Like you're having a conversation thread. So you're having a thread with the LLM. And then every time that you send a reply back to it. So if you're having a conversation, like you ask it a question, it gives you an answer. You ask another question, it gives you an answer. Each one of the times that you send an answer or send another request is called a turn. So there is a, what happens behind the scenes is that these LLMs have, they know nothing. These LLMs have, like, they're not, when you think of them like something that lives up in the cloud that is persistent, that it knows what you just had a conversation with it about, it doesn't. It's a single machine or, you know, a single machine can service tens of thousands of users within the same 5-minute period. And there's thousands of these machines. So what happens is that you're sending the previous conversation along with what you're asking, which is how you can continue to ask it questions about what you're talking about, because you're sending the entire conversation to it every single time. And because it has to learn about it every single time, it costs tokens for it to ingest that information. And as you continue to talk to it, it ingests more and more tokens because the conversation is getting longer and longer. So, what we have is there needs to be a good ratio between threads and turns. You don't want to overload a thread with too many turns because it can start to lose its place. It can start to, like, LLMs are designed to one-shot things. They're designed to, here's a query, here's an answer, right? And it's like when you're giving them this and then this and then that, and then you're chaining it together in a very, very long conversation, it can start to miss things, and it can start to not fully understand things. And so the general accepted belief in the industry is that you should have somewhere between 3 to 10 turns in a thread. Once you've exceeded, 10 turns, you really should summarize the conversation and start a new thread and give it the summary and continue on, or just start a new thread. And I am habitual about always hitting new chat when I get to my Gemini or whatever. I'm constantly, I don't go back to an old chat and ask follow, you know, I don't have a single chat that I've had for months or whatever. Right. It's like, I start new chats. Oh, that's interesting.
Cause I keep chats in different categories and go back to them. I guess I should set up projects for that instead.
Oh, actually, now most of them have memory built into them. They can remember your other chat. So it's keyed on your topic. So they'll remember things from other chats. It's like that's all part of its memory. But so what I was doing is I was having to pull metrics this week for this project. So we, at work, we use a lot of different AI, right? So we use Copilot 365. So we have people that have licenses to use that. We have people that use ChatGPT. We have licenses for that. And because we're a healthcare company, we have to do things that are HIPAA compliant and whatever. So we have to have, you know, their specific accounts that we can use, right? And then on top of that, over on the development side, we have a Claude account that for Claude code for certain developers. And then we have our ChatGPT, which is Codex, stuff like that. And we also have GitHub Copilot. So all of those individual systems all have metrics that you can get from them at varying levels of detail. And so but there was no one complete place where we could see, like, you know, who is and isn't using AI in any capacity, like who and how much are they using it in what capacity, and you know, what is being used and what isn't being used, right? And things like that. So we needed to pull metrics from all of these various different places. So I've been essentially going around bullying all the different admins from all of these different systems to, like, give me API keys that I can pull metrics from, and having to explain to them that, you know, so finally now I've gotten all of the metrics from all of these different places. And that's the one consistent thing that we can monitor, is the threads and turns on most of these systems. And let me tell you, some of our usage numbers, like when I was looking at some of these metrics, there's some shady shit going on, man. There's the number one user of our credits for a 30-day period for our OpenAI accounts, or our ChatGPT accounts. So that covers Codex and ChatGPT, whatever like that. He's using 860 million credits.
Is that a lot? I don't even know.
The next closest person to him, 20 million. Like, wow. Like more than 10 times the closest.
Well, he gets a lot of use out of it then.
And I'm looking at his job, and he's a manager. He's like a dev manager. He doesn't write code and stuff. So I'm like, what is he fucking doing? How can he be using this many tokens for what he's doing? And so I start digging into the threads and turns and, like, his cash and uncash ratio and everything. And I guarantee you, without evidence, but I guarantee you, he's using OpenClaw or something. He understands that our corporate account doesn't have limits. Like, there is no limit to our, like, we're not ratioed at all. Like, we, you know, our corporate accounts for Codex and for Claude Code or whatever are that, you know, it's just a bill, right? It just all gets paid. There's no, it doesn't stop us. It won't, like, go, hey, you're using too many tokens or whatever. Yeah, I feel like that's what they're doing. It's like he's just using that, or he's doing something, because there's no possible way you can use 860 million tokens, or excuse me, credits in this particular case. And I don't know what the credit to token ratio is. But I was thinking about that. It's like even at a cost, even at like a moderate cost of, like, you know, $5 per million output tokens, right? And you have 860 million tokens. Assume that half of them are output. I know that's not, it's not a 50-50 ratio, but let's just assume half of them are output, right? So now you have 400 million times $50. That's not chump change. It's like $8,000, right? It's like, that's like $8,000 a month for one person.
Yeah,
Who's a manager.
I'm surprised they didn't start, you know, charging us by the token anyway, some of these companies. Because when you think about it, when the internet started, you paid by the megabit or whatever.
Yeah.
And now I'm, you know, and now we're getting millions and millions of tokens probably for $20 a month, which seems fairly reasonable to me.
Yeah.
For all it can do.
It is.
But
yeah,
I wouldn't do the $200 a month or whatever, because for me anyway, at home, I don't use it enough to pay that much. But
I feel like, all right, so I'm good with the, I'm a cheapskate, so I don't do the $20 a month. I pay the yearly, so it makes it like $16.95 a month, right? So if you pay by the year, it's less than $20 a month. So I'm fine doing that with Gemini and Claude. And then I have an unlimited chat GPT at work. And I'm fine with that. If I didn't have unlimited at work, if I was just going to make it as a solo dev or do some projects or something like that, I think I would probably move up to the $100 Claude plan. So not the $250 a month, but like the $100 a month Claude plan to get more credits or something. I don't know. I have to see like how many times I would go past the credit things to whatever, but that, you know, something like that, I could do that or go on the Gemini Pro plan. That's just API billing, you know, and see, cause they have pretty good cost controls there. You can go like, hey, if it goes over $100, tell me. It's like, you know, but.
Well, yeah, you normally put in a card to recharge, but you have it notify you when you get to a certain point or something like that. So you're not just willy-nilly spending money.
Yeah. But as a, you know, just as a person who tinkers and who does projects, you know, I feel like, yeah, I get a lot out of my Claude tokens and my Gemini tokens. I feel like although I'm not a fan of the 5-hour window thing on Claude, I am, you know, I now factor that into my day, right? So it's like on a Saturday, it's like I will go over to Claude and ask it something early in the morning just so it starts the 5-hour window so that if I do want to program later, I'll have the tail end of that 5-hour window plus the new window, you know what I'm saying? So I'll do things like that, or I think I've added $20 on my, well, not I think, I did. I added $20 on my account for overage and just turned it on so that if I do run out of credits, it just starts going into API costs. They're not that expensive. It's just, you know, per day or whatever. And I don't program every day on my computer. It's usually just the weekends that I'm doing stuff. So I think I'll be all right. But this next generation, the generation coming after this, I feel like is going to be way more expensive because they're talking about trillion.
Well, hopefully they'll let us keep using the cheaper one then.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the beauty of it.
You can choose the model that you want to use. So,
like, what do you use? What model are you using?
Well, my coding, I am using 5.2, I think, or 5.4, which is the most recent one.
5.4 is the most recent.
Yeah, the most recent one.
Yeah. Are you using medium or high?
Medium at the moment.
Okay. I use medium for plan and then high for code, but that's, again, I'm on a corporate account. I don't have a limit. So it's like
I don't know what happens, but once I hit my limit, it'll just throttle me or something, right?
I think.
Because I've not hit anything, I don't think. If I have, it slowed down quite a bit one day. And it says it says for my five hour window, I've still got 100% remaining. And for weekly, I've got 96% remaining.
Yeah.
Nice. So I'm, you know.
Yeah,
I'm using it, but you know, I'm able to.
Oh yeah, no,
I need to do.
It recycles every 5 hours, and then once a week it recycles. So it's and then you can always just pay per API usage after that. But it's plenty. Yeah, I think I told you last week they're also doing that thing right now through middle April where they're not. It's half price as long as it's not between the hours of 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. So it's like all weekend long and in the afternoons and evenings, it's half price. So it's not half price. You just get twice as many tokens as you would during the peak 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Right.
It's going to get weird. Like, I understand why they shut down Sora just from a compute standpoint. Like, that's a whole shit ton of compute that's being used to make slop videos and everything. And we're running into a place where they're running out of compute. For, you know, they're having to slow down enterprise customers for, you know, compute because they don't have capacity. Meanwhile, Sora was losing like $1 million a day. So it's just kind of like one of those, let's shut this down and then move those machines over to, you know, or reassign those machines over to compute. So,
yeah.
It's insane. Yeah,
it's working for me. It's working for me at the moment.
And it's so weird because you can run, you know, like I have, what do I have at the moment? I forget which Chinese model I have running on my Linux box over here. But the new Gemma 4, I will probably... Quinn. So I'm running Quinn over here on my Linux box locally. But now I can run Gemma 4, I think, over there. Gemma 4 just got released. And it's going to be pretty awesome. And it'll fit within the RAM that I have. So it was like, oh, I can move that over there. That would be awesome. So I feel like, you know, yeah, it's never going to get worse than it is right now. So it's like, even if I can't afford to have the Frontier models in the future, the models we have right now are doing great for me, right?
Yeah.
It's like, so.
And they're going to get better. And also,
yeah,
eventually the new ones will go down in price because they'll have a newer one, you know, and they're just always will be getting better. So yeah, it's an embarrassment of riches that's going to take all of our jobs.
I don't believe that.
But hopefully there'll be new ones.
Yeah, or that's right. Yeah, exactly. Us money. Yeah, no, there will be new ones. Here's the thing, and I know we've talked about this before, but let me just reiterate it. You do know that there's four types of when you talk about AI. There's four types of people, right? There's the doomers, the gloomers, the zoomers, and the bloomers. Those are the four categories of people about AI, right? So you have the doomers, which is AI is evil. It's going to take over the world. This is horrible. We should all run the other way screaming. There's the doomers, which are like, well, AI is here and it's probably going to take our jobs, but we got to use it. But it's all horrible because it's going to take our jobs. And then you have the zoomers, which are oh my God, AI is amazing. You got to fucking like do everything with AI. This is awesome. You know, just damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. AI is great. No guardrails, whatever. And then you have the bloomers, which are the people that are basically the people that are basically accepting of it and whatever. What do you have? It's 12:26.
No, I'm just trying to get the balloons.
It's 4 minutes.
You did an okay thing and it did okay, an okay symbol.
Did it?
And so I was it did. And so I was trying to get balloons, but anyway, keep going.
It's not doing it for me.
Did you didn't even see it?
No, I didn't.
Oh. It did it.
I think you have to have it turned on.
No, I wasn't telling you I had 2 minutes left. I'm sorry.
I thought you were sitting there going like 2 minutes. 2 minutes left until I gotta go.
I thought you saw the balloons.
I didn't see the balloons.
Well, they're doomers, zoomers, bloomers, something, and bloomers. And I think you were on zoomers.
And then the bloomers are the people that are like, okay, well, yeah, but we got to incorporate it into our life or whatever. And it's all, you know, it's like the, okay, you can accept it now or whatever. So it's like,
well, no, I love it. I love it. But I am realistic and I know that it's going to change things.
Oh, absolutely. You know? It already is.
And yeah. It already is changing things. So, I mean, I love it and I'm going to enjoy the, you know, I just hope that we do it the right way so that people can still have jobs and, you know, make good money and all that good stuff.
And I feel like that is a thing. I think like the we're going to need more programmers, not less, because the cost of making software is going to drastically reduce. Like when you could have a single team of devs, like three or four devs, do an entire product using AI, you know, using AI to make an entire product. That's awesome. Instead of a 30 or a 300 person dev team or whatever, you can do it with three devs or whatever. That means that now as a medium-sized company, you could realistically write your own accounting software. You don't need need to buy it from some other company or whatever, like, you know, Hewitt, whatever that financial place is or whatever. You don't need to pay tens of thousands of dollars a year for their financial software when you can just make your own, because now you can afford to hire three programmers. You couldn't afford to hire 50, right? So it's like, as the cost of software comes down, more and more companies are going to want to enact their own internal custom software, and they're going to be able to do it with way fewer programmers than they would have needed in the past. But more people can do it, which means it, there will be a demand. There will still be a demand for people being able to make these, you know, these applications that they need. The difference is that it's no longer dependent upon you need to know this language on this technology in order to do this. And so you've got to know the intricacies of this platform and this language and this, it's like a little Venn diagram, right? It's like, are you a good dev for this project? Well, it depends on what languages you know, what platforms you know, and what, you know, libraries you know on top of what we're using here, right? Because I don't want to spend the time to teach you a new ALM or whatever. All of that's going away. All of that, those barriers are all dropping down. And now it just comes down to, do you understand the abstract technologies at play in a good enough way that you can instruct a system how to write software to do what you want it to do, right? I want you to, yes, to move this from this, you know, I want the user to be able to do this, and then they'll see that. How you do that, I don't give a fuck. Just that's
as
what,
an example, yeah, a whole page with an admin page with a list,
yeah,
and of like items and edit, delete, and add, yeah, all wired together.
Yep. Yeah.
Took 2 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a hard thing for a developer, but mm-hmm, that would probably take a day or two. Yeah. And then it would have to be code reviewed and the, like all this stuff, you know. And it did it in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It was just like, boom. Okay, here you go, Adam.
Yeah, no,
the whole thing.
I do that daily at work, right? Yeah. I do that daily. I'm on a call with people and they're talking about, well, there's this metrics endpoint here. And then you, and I'm like, can you give me an API key? And they like, I'm just like, just send it to me in secure email. They'll send it to me. I'll pop it into a thing that I've already written. Then, you know, I've already had Codex write for me. And I'm just like, all right, yeah, here's the metrics. Do these look right? And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, cool. All right, good. We're done. It's like, it's insane the speed at which we can move when you're using these tools at the speed that you can. And the thing that really annoys me about where we're at right now at work is, you know, I'm seeing these raw metrics, and there are some people that are just fucking taking advantage of us. It's like, there are some, one of the top user of our tokens for OpenAI is a contractor, and a contractor from India who is the top token user. And it's like, why is he using tokens for what is he doing? More so than our devs, or like, you know, devs on this product. It's like, what is this guy doing? It's like, I guarantee you he's running something. He's selling an API key to, you know, people or something, or on the black, you know what I'm saying? It's just like,
I do.
And the fact that our management, that's the dumb thing. And that's where people are going to be needed. It's like right now, the management is, they don't understand technology on a good day. And right now, everything boils down to, do you understand how these systems work together? It's like, and if you don't, you're going to put a policy in place that's going to hamper people. Or worse, you're going to put a policy in place that makes people do stupid things that are going to end up costing you a lot of money, right? Like posting stuff to public websites or whatever, because you're blocking them from being able to host a web server internally or something like that. You know, it's like I have these arguments every day where I'm like, look, as people make their own software, as people are going into these chatbots and having them make that software in the canvas or whatever, you know, like, hey, make me an application that does this, like write me an application that does this and it does it. They want a place to host that. And if we don't provide that for them, if we don't provide for them a very, you know, secure internal system that they can publish whatever they want to publish to and make it frictionless, they're just going to go out on the web to Lovable or Replit or someplace like that.
Yeah.
And now we can have company IP. being sent up there. We could have PHI being sent up there. We could have, you know, PII stuff getting sent up there. It's like we could be fined as a company, you know, tremendous amounts of money because, you know, we're not thinking about the fact that this is a productivity tool and people want to fucking use it. And why are we trying to stop them from using it? Why aren't we helping them use it? It's like, why aren't we giving them the places to do these things? So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now. I know you got to go. It's 12:34.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It is. All right. Well, chat room, love you all.
He loves you, but not that much because he's leaving.
Well,
but,
I have to take Mark to, I have to be a supportive boyfriend in the morning.
I'm just teasing you. Jesus Christ.
So.
All right. Chat room. Thank you all for being here. We will not be here next Friday, but we will be here the Friday after that. So I will remember, if you're a level 13 subscriber, watch your feeds. We'll probably post some things over on that feed while Adam is here. So, good night, chat room.